Proverbs 11, reading from the first verse. The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights and find favour with him. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. The integrity of the upright guides them, and the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless makes their paths straight, but the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Hopes placed in mortals die with them. All the promise of their power comes to nothing. The righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead. With their mouths the godless destroy their neighbours, but through knowledge the righteous escape. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked it is destroyed. Whoever derides their neighbour has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisers. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer, but whoever refuses to shake hands in pledge is safe. A kind-hearted woman gains honour, but ruthless men gain only wealth. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. A wicked person earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward. Truly the righteous attain life, but whoever pursues evil finds death. The Lord detests those whose hearts are perverse, but he delights in those whose ways are blameless. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished, but those who are righteous will go free. Like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, and they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. Whoever seeks good finds favour, but evil comes to one who searches for it. For those who trust in their riches and fall, but the richest will thrive like a green leaf. Whoever brings ruin on their family will inherit only wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. If righteous receive their due in earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?
How about we pray as we open up Proverbs 11? Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. We pray that your spirit that penned these words, your spirit of wisdom, might speak to us again this morning, and that he might reveal to us both the goodness and the truth of these words. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Growing up, I have very fond memories of on a Saturday morning racing across the house, down the hall, to get to the TV to beat my younger sister so that we could watch a show called The Animals of Farthingwood. Does anyone remember this? I should have a picture up. It's a story of some woodland animals, and two foxes lead this group of woodland animals from their home. They live in a national park, which starts getting bulldozed and torn down, and so the TV series is them trying to find a new place of refuge, a new place of safety, somewhere where they might go, where they can finally be at rest and where their relationships might flourish and where they can enjoy life and be safe. And the book of Proverbs would say that all of us in this life are on such a quest. All of us. All of us are in the journey, in the pursuit of a place where we can be at rest, where we can find security, safety, a place where we will not need to be anxious or fear or be burdened. And people will try and find that in all different places, Proverbs would suggest. It would throw out there that people would try to find it in places like your health, and then you end up rolling your ankle. People will try and find this place of refuge, this place of kind of rest and comfort in relationships or family. Or perhaps in career or in the approval of others, or perhaps, and this is where Proverbs 11 really kind of presses in the pursuit of money. And there is this illusion in our culture that in the pursuit of money, perhaps there, when we have enough, we will finally be able to rest. That the pursuit of riches perhaps will answer the quest for security. And Proverbs 11 opens, it begins with quite a strong statement. That the Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with him. This is a comment talking about in ancient times, if you were to go into a shop or be trading in a marketplace and you wanted to buy a kilo of grain, what would happen is the trader would have a scale and they would put a 1 kilo plate, not that they had kilos as the measurement back then, but they put a kilo plate on and then they would pour out a kilo until it balanced. And then that was a kilo of grain and they would charge you. But here's the problem. How do you know that that plate is really a kilo? In fact, often traders would have two different plates, one heavier than a kilo and one lighter than a kilo, depending on whether they were buying or selling. And you're like, bankers, I knew it right at the beginning. No. If you're a banker, I apologize. And what Proverbs 11 is saying is, you think people who work with dishonest scales, people who twist and distort things because of their greed in the pursuit of money that result in taking advantage of others, that is detestable to God. That he detests that. That it's like drinking a glass of milk and then realizing it has chunks in it, lumps in it, and you're like, it's like, Is that the image? That they may think they have gotten away with it, those who work with dishonesty or over-exaggerating the truth, but in the end, he will balance the scales. And so the encouragement is that Not just does he detest those who work with dishonest scales, but he delights in those who work with honest scales, who work with integrity, who are men and women of their word, that when they say they are going to do something, they do it. That they work hard, that they honor their employer's time. That they work with integrity. I remember when I was 16 and the preacher said to me, it felt like he was saying it to me, but he said it to all of us. He said, you should be the kind of employer that when your boss is looking for new staff, she says, do you have any friends that are looking for work? That the Lord delights in those, finds favor with those who work honestly. You see, money, wealth is a tool. It is something that can be used either to try and satisfy something, something that will try and bring about security, but it can never do that. It will never feed you that way. It's like chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And you're running after the bottom of that rainbow and you're never going to get there. You're never going to get the gold. That money, and let me be clear on this, money is never a bad thing in the Bible. Okay? Money is a neutral thing in the Bible. Wealth is a neutral thing. In fact, the Bible would almost go so strong to say being wealthy is a good thing. And Proverbs 11 does this. Being wealthy is a good thing because you can be generous to others. It's not sinful to be rich. King David was rich. In fact, it is, end of Proverbs 11, that the city rejoices in the wealth. But wealth is a tool to then be used to serve others. And you will either... Here's what I think Proverbs 11 suggests. You will either use others to make money or you will use money to serve others. Because ultimately, money will never bring true rest, true freedom, financial freedom. It's not a reality. True security is never found in wealth. Look at verse 4. The wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You see, it doesn't matter how many zeros you have in your bank account. I know some of you think, I've got a lot of zeros in my bank account. All at the start. It doesn't matter how big your investment portfolio is. It doesn't matter how much Bitcoin you have, whether you are Elon Musk or even own a small apartment in Sydney. You can plan for retirement, and you should. You can go on luxurious holidays, and that is a fine thing. That's a nice thing. But those things, all of those things, will never really provide lasting security. I've shared this story before. There was a large tech company, just outside on the freeway, outside one of their major kind of units, and they had a billboard that they put up, that said, he who has the most toys wins. And it lasted about 24 hours. Because that night, someone came in, and the next morning as cars were flying down the freeway, they looked up and they saw the billboard that said, he who has the most toys, and someone had graffitied over the top of it and said, still dies. That wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. It can't rescue. And when we as modern readers, and particularly Christian readers, when we see the phrase the day of wrath, we tend to think judgment day. And yes, that is true, but the word is actually more talking about when the storm hits. When life drops, when sorrow and grief take over, so much so when grief hits you to the point where food doesn't taste the same anymore. That money on that day will be worthless, counts for nothing. I remember hearing a story of a young woman in her early 40s who went up to a preacher in New York City one day in 2008. And she said, I just wanted to thank you for, you don't know this, but you saved my life. And, you know, like, usually what you hear as a preacher is like, you should have shorter sermons. I really like that part about your sermon. You don't often get, you saved my life. And she said, you don't know this, but 6 weeks ago, I came in the back of church and I sat at the back right-hand corner. And you spoke about how everything we had could be taken from us in a moment. And nothing that we had would ever truly last. That we were building sand castles and the tide was always going to come in. And then she said, you spoke about Jesus and how 2,000 years ago, how he hung on the cross and lost everything so that he would be the one thing that we could never lose. And she said, I became a Christian. I became a Christian and had no idea that 2 weeks later, if you followed the dates right, 2 weeks later, the GFC hit. And she said, I work very high up in Wall Street. She said, my day is spent day trading tens of millions of dollars. She said, in a week, I lost everything. And then I started losing friends. Because all of my colleagues realized they would never earn back what they had lost. And she said about 30-40% of my friends have now taken their own life in the last 2 weeks. But for me, she said, for me, money's just a tool now. And I can go through riches and I can go through poverty and it's hard, but it's just a tool. That wealth is worthless when the storm hits. But did you notice what isn't worthless? Did you notice that there is there is a hope. Verses 6 and 7. But the righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. Hope placed in mortals die with them. All the promises of their power come to nothing. But the righteous person is rescued from trouble, and it falls on the wicked instead. You see, true security is found not in riches, according to Proverbs 11, but true security is found in righteousness. And as Christians, we often misunderstand righteousness. So when we hear righteousness, often we think, oh, yep, that's right, we are forgiven. That's what we believe as Christians. But righteousness and being forgiven are not the same thing. So righteousness is more than forgiveness. Forgiveness is basically a negative. It's saying you are free from the punishments that are due to you. You are free, forgiven. The negatives that are due to you have been wiped clean. And that's a good thing. But righteousness is a positive. It's the bestowal of a status and all the rights, all the privileges that come with that positive status then. I've used this illustration before, but there's no better illustration for it. I love the show NCIS. And there's an episode where there is an elderly gentleman who, his mind and memories are fading. And he has been, he's allegedly guilty of a crime, of murder actually, of one of his best friends. And being in the military, he is arrested, and when the military police come, they kind of stand in the NCIS offices and they go to put the handcuffs on him, and he kind of struggles to get up out of his chair. And as he stands up out of his chair, he kind of holds his wrists forward, his shoulders slouched, and they get the handcuffs. And DiNozzo, Anthony DiNozzo, is standing next to him. And he reaches over and he pulls back the blazer of this elderly gentleman. And underneath the elderly gentleman's blazer on his pocket is the Medal of Honor. And the soldiers who have come to arrest him, you see it immediately, they snap to a salute. They go from putting handcuffs on him to saluting him. Because they're not saluting the man, they are saluting the medal. And all that the medal represents, because the Medal of Honor represents all of those who on that day shed their blood, gave their lives for freedom and safety and protection of others. All those that lost their lives for that sake. All the acts of honor and valor of hundreds of thousands of men and women. You You see, forgiveness is being released from jail. Your crimes are wiped clean. But righteousness is like getting the Medal of Honor. And the Bible is clear on this, that righteousness is not something that you achieve, but it's something that you receive. And so it's not like Jesus comes, dies, this is what we remembered, and takes our cup from us, drinks the judgment upon himself, and forgives us. And then we now need to earn our righteousness. We now need to achieve it. No. He says, I will drink their cup, but he then goes, I will give them my cup. And we are given his cup. There is an exchange here, not just forgiven, but given righteousness. That is received. Genesis 15 verse 6. Abram believed the Lord and it was credited, given to him as righteousness. Romans 4 3. It was credited to him as righteous. Galatians 3 6. That he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. 10 years ago, I was sitting a Moore College exam, and I'm in this room that stunk of, someone had burnt all the paint in the room. I remember I was studying for this exam, and I came across a scrap of paper, and it has been deeply profound for me. Here is what said from a guy called Michael Horton. He said, where most people think that the goal of religion is to get people to become something they are not, the scriptures call believers to become more and more what they already are in Christ. And this is what Proverbs is about. This is what the rest of Proverbs chapter 11 is about. That if security is found not in riches, but in righteousness, and if righteousness is received, not achieved, but if we are then to live more and more in line with who we already are, what we already have in Christ, here is how we ought to live as righteous. Here is what it will mean, and I know we need to finish up, so let me just go through this. It will mean being impressed, being invested in community. You notice verse 10 and 11. When the righteous prosper, the city prospers, rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts for joy. Though through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted. But by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. You see, you will be part of a collective. You'll be part of a people. You'll be invested. You'll be invested in the village. And here's my two cents. So many people I talk to want more friends. Want a village around them. But in my experience, very few people are willing to make the sacrifices or do the hard work of being a village for other people. If you are going to be invested in a village, if you are going to have a village around you, you need to invest and be a village for other people. And that will mean sacrifices. It will mean sometimes you get less you time. It will mean that you don't always get the Tuesday night Netflix binge. That'll be good for you. It will mean that maybe you have less date nights. it will mean bringing other people who aren't married or whose marriages have fallen apart into your family. It will be costly. It will mean making sacrifices. It will mean building IKEA furniture. Even when they think, we don't need to read the instructions, I'm pretty sure I know how it goes. You don't know how it goes. That's why there's three things left. It will mean being vulnerable and generous with your money, with your time, with your forgiveness of others who hurt you. It will mean controlling your words. Whoever derides their neighbor, verse 12, has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. Hear that? Being self-controlled with your tongue. So I listened to a podcast the other day and they said, the only control the Bible tells you to have is self-control. Not control of others, not control of your family. You can't control other people. Self-control. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. A kind-hearted woman gains honor, but ruthless men, what do they get? Only wealth. You know what wealth is good for at the end of the day? Nothing. Not nothing, but when the judgment day comes, when the storm hits, it's worthless. Those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves. You see, we have been given a righteousness. And if that righteousness cannot be taken from us, that gives us a stability where we can then, even when the storm hits, be okay. So we can then love others well, be vulnerable well. Because it means that when the storm hits, whether sickness or betrayal or poverty, or when family doesn't look like how you imagined it to be, your security is safe. Because you in him have a righteousness that can never be taken. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness to us. We pray that you might help us to live more and more in line with who you have already made us in Christ, that we might live wisely in this world. And we pray this for the glory of Jesus. Amen.